I can remember as a kid sitting at the table and I wasn't allowed to leave until all my food was gone. And I remember crying. I didn't want to do that to my kids. And unfortunately, the way to fix that is I catered to my son's needs. And now he is 23 years old and still eats chicken fingers, mac and cheese, and hot dogs.
Oh, wow. I think a lot of Americans do that, unfortunately. Lisa, I hear your heart. You know, it's easy to beat yourself up as a parent saying, I ruined my adult son or daughter. Hey, listen, they make decisions. They're big people. They can decide. But it is a reminder that our kids do catch from us. They catch from us more than the words that we speak. They watch us, don't they? Hey, today we're going to be talking to up-and-coming parents, those that are coming up behind you. Here's the question. What advice do you have for that? Sometimes we call them a rookie, right? The rookie parent coming up behind you. If you could share one piece of advice, would you do that live right on our storyline right now at 888-888-1717? We're pulling from our archives. We got calls all ready to go, people who've shared with us before on the show today. But we'd love to have you share on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Again, if you just joined us, the question is, like Lisa, you've learned some lessons, some things that you would like to pass along to a younger parent who's just getting started. What one piece of advice would you give them? Maybe it's about food. Maybe it's about faith. Maybe it's about communication or time or whatever it is. But one thing you'd like to share with them to help them be the intentional parent that God wants them to be. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We love hearing from you. And I want to just say right now at the outset of the show, how much I appreciate our community of supporters. Thank you guys, ladies, men and women, couples, young and old, for supporting the ministry, for praying for me and our team, for allowing us to do this every day. God bless you. We appreciate it a lot.
Hi, Dr. Mandy. My name is Pearl. I live in Oklahoma. I listen to you on Bot Radio. One thing I would say to new parents would be to speak life and blessing to your children. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so just speak life to your kids. Thank you guys for your ministry.
Hi, this is Janet. I raised 8 successful children. They're grown. What a young lady needs to remember, she's going to have to be organized.
Hi, I'm Bob. What I learned is I needed to believe God myself and persevere in faith, and to keep believing, to keep persevering, so that you can do the right next one thing. Lamentations 3:23, I believe his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness.
Indeed. Listen, that's great. Doing the next right one thing. I wonder where I heard that. That's intentional living. I think back, one of the comments there was get organized. I've been so fortunate and blessed. I mean, my wife, Donna, is very organized. She doesn't get rattled too often. And when the kids were home, she just did it. And God bless her. I mean, if it had been dependent totally on me, or even mostly on me, I think we would have been in trouble, at least in the organization camp. Organized, getting things done, loving on the kids, thinking of creative things, keeping them growing and maturing. Those are real practical things, and that's what we want to get to. What are the practical things, the things that you'd share with a rookie parent? One thing that maybe you made a mistake, or one thing that you'd look back and say, hey, this is my best advice for you. 888-888-1717. Let's go. Mary Ann is in Michigan. Hi there, Mary Ann. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I called because I was thinking that one of the things I would have done differently, because I'm a grandma now and I'm seeing things differently, is I was a single mom for a long time, and then I got married again, but I really tried to protect my daughter, who's now like 31 going on 32, I tried to protect her because her dad had walked out and left us. So I didn't want her to have as hard a life that I had growing up, and then, or, you know, having to do too much around the home or anything. I mean, she's much better now. She's married with, I have grandchildren. And my son the same way. He's 20, and I really wish that I would have had him, because his dad was gone a lot, and so I always wanted, oh, he should have things more, and he should not have to, you know, work as hard around the house or anything like that, and I think that was probably a mistake.
And you think you did that out of guilt?
I think so, because I think I felt bad because the other parent wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, all the time.
So you felt like you had to overdo for them and protect them. And
Yes.
Now, how did that affect them as they got to be adults?
Well, I'm telling you, the way it affected my daughter, really, I noticed, and things are working out now, but it made it difficult for her when she got married, because my son-in-law was a cleanie, and he was really into keeping the house, and she was... She was not, and I wasn't real organized in that way, so that didn't help.
Uh-huh.
And the same way with my son, I think I felt guilt. I have felt guilt, and I didn't bring this up to Stephen, but I was like, because my son is 20 now, and he tried to take his life a couple of different times recently, and I blame myself because, you know, like her dad had left, and I met him in Christian ministry. He was gone. And I still wanted to compensate, and then my son's dad is unavailable to him in many ways, so I didn't feel like he should have to do things around the home as much, or really put it in place and insist upon him working consistently outside the home or whatever, and finish school. I mean, I really tried, but he didn't seem to latch on. So,
well, I think it's a reminder, Marianne, that with our kids, and we all look back, and that makes no difference how, quote, great our home was or not. We all of us can look back and say, boy, you know, if I could do it again. And the only reason to share that today is to help other parents who are coming along to say, hey, this is a mistake. This is kind of a trap that this parent has gotten into. Be aware of that, at least as you're parenting, that in Marianne's case, it could be operating out of guilt, overdoing, not holding kids responsible and accountable, and so on. Well, I know you still, parenting never ends, Marianne, as you know, and we'll be praying for you, and I appreciate you sharing with us today.
Thank you, Dr.
All
Andy.
All right.
God bless you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Let me get Doreen on here from Arizona. What would you do differently if you could, Doreen?
I was a very frustrated mother with a very screaming child. We do have 5 children in heaven now and 4 on earth. And our oldest was just a real pill. And I spanked him a lot for just about everything he did. And if I could go back now and redo, I wouldn't be doing that.
Well,
I would spank him really, it was too much anger.
Yeah, and when we operate out of anger, of course, that's not where we want to be as a parent, for sure. That's a big, you know, one of the things that we've taught at Intentional Living when it comes to parenting is that spanking, or when it comes to corporal punishment, there are ways of parenting. We have taught through Intentional Living over the years the use of logical and natural consequences, helping hold our children accountable by the things that happen in life, the things that we experience in life. When it comes to parenting our children, there are so many creative ways to train our children, and we should never be real careful when you're disciplining. We never discipline out of our own emotional needs. We always discipline for the benefit of the children, for the child. Okay, let's get to more calls, 888-888-1717. We'll be back with your calls in a moment, talking about one thing, a piece of advice for parents you'd pass along.
My name is Candace. I wanted to chime in today in regards to the topic of being a young parent and what's the one thing that they should do. And I'm 29 years old, so I guess I'd be considered a young parent. I have 3 boys, 6, 5, and 2 years old. I have a full-time job in which I work anywhere from 50 to 55 hours a week. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of parents who are going through a similar kind of situation. But I just want to encourage you and let you know that the time spent with your children is precious. You need to learn to just adore the season that they are in. Adore the way that they are. If they're silly and goofy, look at how joyful they are and share in that joy. Just be happy that when you come through the door, you've got 3 little bodies hanging off you. You're not going to find that kind of love anywhere else in the world but in your own home.
Here's some good advice for parents. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Don't make fairness your goal, but instead discover the uniqueness of each of your children. God has made your sons and daughters to be unique. Even within the birth order, we know first and seconds tend to be different, and second and thirds, and babies different than middle children. The Bible tells us that we are to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it, Proverbs 22. Training is the goal of intentional parenting. Get in behind the eyes of your son and daughter, find out how they're wired, what their unique interests and gifts are, and then helping them explore those things in their life so they too can live an intentional life in Christ. When you help them do that, that is intentional parenting.
Get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day. Go to theintentionallife.com/minute.
This is Intentional Living, and we're focusing today on how to be intentional as a rookie parent, and sharing with you from those who've been down the path ahead of you how to parent, things that they've learned that they want to share with you. By the way, the telephone number here is 888-1717. Iola's on the line in Kansas. Hi there. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You really make my day.
Oh, thank you.
You have improved my life so much. I am a monthly sponsor or whatever.
Well, thank you.
And I listen to your CDs and share those also.
Good. All right. What would you do differently? Or one advice?
I was a parent, and the main thing I think, it's one of the little things, is enjoy your children.
Right.
You know, and give them blessings and encouragement most often. But when you do, when you have a rule that's broken, deliver the consequence. Mm.
Yeah, that's the consistency thing, Iola, and I think many times with parents, what we'll do. You get frustrated or you get emotional, and then you make these threats. You know, you're never going to date. You know, I'm never going to let you date, or you're never going to be able to leave home, or if you don't do this, you're going to be grounded for the next 3 weeks. I mean, we have these kind of things that we say that are really, really silly. And as parents, when we have a consistent approach to discipline, of course, we have taught for 25 plus years logical and natural consequences, training our children, being clear with the expectations, nurturing our children. Remember, the word discipline comes from the root of discipleship. It doesn't come from the concept of punishment. And punishment is, frankly, not very effective, especially with children in this generation. And rightfully so. I think when we train our children, it's much better and it's more effective to use training. That's discipline. Training our children. And you do that, as you point out, by having a logical or natural consequence. Let me give you an example. If your children are picky eaters and they're not eating and they're fighting over food, many times parents, we got to get in there and we'll raise our voice and we'll be demanding and we get all frustrated. At what point do you say the logical consequence is, if you're not hungry, the food's gone, but don't come back, you know, it's taken away until the next meal. You don't then give them snacks 10 minutes later. Or if you have a child that's not getting their homework done and you have to remind them and end up having to do half of it yourself, at what point do you say, look, I'm here available to you, but I'm not going to remind you any longer. But the television's off and your video games are taken away and your mobile device, until the homework is done, you come and let me see it, I'll check it off, and then you can do your other activities. In other words, we put into place a logical approach to raising our kids and then following through, which is really an important thing to do. And so it's a good reminder. Thank you, Iola, and thank you for your support as well.
Yes. Okay. Oh, I'm so glad I moved to Kansas City and couldn't get my other station, because FLR is much better. Thank you.
Well, good.
You have a blessed day.
I'm glad you're listening in Kansas City. That's great. Lisa, speaking of Kansas, is on the line. Hi, from Kansas. Hi, Lisa. Where in Kansas are you today?
I'm in Lawrence.
Lawrence, yeah. The home of the Jayhawks, right?
That is correct.
There you go.
I'm an Oklahoma State Cowboy at heart.
Uh-oh. Now, do you publish that around town?
I do.
All right. What would you do differently?
Oh, well, you touched on it. You hit the nail on the head. I wish at a young age I knew the importance of nutrition and real food. I can remember as a kid sitting at the table and I wasn't allowed to leave until all my food was gone. And I remember crying. I didn't want to do that to my kids. And unfortunately, the way to fix that is I catered to my son's needs.
Oh.
And now he is 23 years old and still eats chicken fingers, French fries, mac and cheese, and hot dogs. I listen to everybody with the boy. He's going to come around. He'll be eating steak before you know it. And that just never happened.
So what you're saying is when he didn't eat what you wanted, you'd kind of be a short order cook and bring him what he wanted?
Absolutely, yes. Grilled cheese, yes.
Uh-huh.
I would. Like I said, I just didn't understand the full impact of nutrition. And now, you know, it's too late. I can't change him now.
Well, but you know what? You passed on as a reminder to others. And of course, no matter, and this is true, by the way, you can raise your kids right with nutrition and they can still go out and do that. And you can raise your kids with the wrong nutrition and then go out and make decisions. Ultimately, our kids are responsible. But you're making a good point. As a mom, Lisa, when we overdo for our kids like that, accommodating and thinking that we're running a bed and breakfast, for instance, you know, we give our kids the wrong message. You know, we're not here as a bed and breakfast for our kids. We're here as a family, and families cooperate and work together, and we're going to put good food on the table, food that you're going to enjoy, and, you know, we're going to use good sense. We're not going to bring food that's not nutritious, nor you're not going to enjoy. But at the same time, we're not running a short order kitchen here that every child's getting their own meals. This is a family and we're working together. It's a good reminder. All right, Lisa, thank you for your call from Kansas. I'm glad you're listening in Lawrence.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. We're talking about rookie parents today. One piece of advice, 888-888-1717.
It's the three most important words in the English language.
I love you.
Okay, then maybe these are three among the most important words. Free, free, free. Intentional Living has free resources for you and your family to strengthen your faith, your marriage, your parenting, and more. Check out The Intentionals, our top 10 lists. Read free ebooks, start your own intentional one thing challenge, give and receive prayer, and more.
Cool. And it's all free, free, free.
TheIntentionalLife.com.
Always apologize when I'm wrong because it helps the child learn how to be accountable for themselves, and also it's okay to be wrong.
If you've been divorced, never talk negatively about your former spouse in front of your children. My daughter is 42 years old now, and I still refuse to talk negatively about my ex-wife in front of my daughter.
So I'd like to tell any parent out there who's going through some frustrating times with their teenager, or they're hurting, just having hard relationships right now, I would just say, learn to forgive, teach forgiveness, model forgiveness is what will change your relationship.
My advice is when your child comes home from school and tells you that a classmate or someone else got in trouble or something that happened at school, as a parent, just keep that in the family or keep it close. Don't repeat it because I feel like it hurts your child eventually.
Well, there's some free advice, rookie parents, from those who've been down the trail. I love it. You know, that first one talking about learning to apologize, that's a hard thing for parents to do because many of us have been raised to think, you know, parents, we're the boss, we're in charge, we're always right. And it would show weakness if we said to our kids, hey, I'm sorry. It's not weakness. It's strength. Now, we don't want to grovel and beg for forgiveness, but when we've blown it, to be able to say to, you know, to Billy or Susie to say, look, you know, I blew it. I'm sorry. I'm wrong, but I'm still a parent. Here's where we're going. We're going to move in a new direction. That's a very important thing to do. Again, your advice is always welcome. We love it when our comment line says, hey, no more room. It's full. And if you have a story or a piece of advice for a rookie parent coming up behind you, go ahead and share it today. Just give us a call at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. Take you right to our story line. The other, there were four things commented there. The other one I think really stands out. is don't talk negatively about an ex-spouse. I know at the moment it may feel good to do so, but long term, be the mature, godly, responsible parent. Okay? Just my two cents.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. Got some more calls we'll get to here in a moment. We're talking to young parents, rookie parents, as we call them, getting started and sharing some advice with you and just some things. Let me just tick off some things that I've seen in 30-plus years of working with families that really watch for as a parent, okay? Some of the things that can trip you up. One is criticism. You think you're doing your child a favor by critiquing everything they do. What you do through criticism is discourage your children. Now, when your children are doing something that, let's say they're doing their homework, let's use as an example, they do their homework, and when you look at it, it's all wrong. And it's not wrong because they don't know how to do it. It's all wrong because they're lazy and they didn't get it done, right? You know what I'm talking about? And it's easy to jump on their case and criticize them, and if you paid more attention and if you worked harder, you could do better, and you know, you don't want to grow up and be like your great uncle so-and-so, and you know, one thing or another. Instead of just using logical, natural consequence, you know, hey, listen, we just have a certain expectation of grades. We know you're capable of B's and B pluses or whatever it is, your standard, and A's and B's in your home, and that's fine. But if you don't keep up with that, then, you know, you're making a choice then to lose some of the privileges you have. It's your choice. You could, you know, but this is a priority over these things, and you leave the ball in their court. It's easy to criticize your kids. It's easy. Criticism is very destructive. It's easy to operate out of guilt. We heard that earlier in the program, where you make decisions based on having gone through a divorce and now you're a single parent, or maybe you feel guilty about something you know you've done in the past and you're trying to make up for it as a parent, and you're not consistent. And of course, ultimately, remember, as the scripture says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. And that's a promise right from your Father. So don't allow the condemnation of Satan or of your situation to drag you down so you start operating out of guilt as a parent. It's not good. Okay, let's find out from Ruth what she would maybe have done differently to help pass along to parents listening. Ruth, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good.
Good. What
just
would
driving and picking my husband up for lunch so we can have lunch together.
Well, that's nice. What kind of lunch do you guys, I mean, where do you go for lunch? What kind of things do you enjoy?
Well, my favorite is Mexican, so that's what we're doing.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. Well, the people who are listening in the East Coast, they've already had lunch, but it sounds pretty tasty at this time.
Yeah.
Okay, what would you do differently, Ruth?
Well, I was just talking to a friend this morning on our walk and just saying I wished I would have allowed my son to, I wish I would have taught him, I mean, I know I did try, but I didn't force it to tithe. But then also when it came to buying Christmas presents, I would say, oh, you know, don't spend your own money, you know, I'll buy that present for grandma or I'll buy that present for, you know, mm-hmm. Auntie. And I just, with my daughter, you know, I just realized at a young age, you know, when it would be time to, you know, go Christmas shopping, she would go for her wallet. And I just, something inside me said, let her spend her own money, even though it's kind of like, you know, as parents, we don't want to see our kids, you know, skin their knees or get hurt, or, you know, but we've got to do that. And so with my daughter, I let her buy Christmas presents with her own money that she would earn from chores. And I just saw just such a greater joy in her and such a giving. She was just more giving and generous. And I just felt like with not allowing my son to do that and to find the joy in giving, that he's just more selfish. So I don't know. I guess that's something I would have done differently.
Yeah, it's very practical. We teach here at Intentional Living about allowance, allowing allowance to be given to children partly for being part of the family, but from that they learn to budget and expense. You know, if they spend all the money in one area, they don't have it in another. And then the extra for the extra work, the extra effort, kind of like how life works. Good reminder, Ruth. Remember, parents, you don't do your kids a favor if you don't handle money wisely yourself and teach them how to handle money wisely as well. All right, Ruth, thanks for your call.
You know, there are three unique windows to the world. Our head, those of us who are thinkers, our hearts, those of us that are feelers, and our hands, those of us that are doers. And which one you are impacts your relationship with others. And that's really the question, I suppose, today as we talk about head, heart, and hand. Which are you and how does it impact your life?
Hey, that's the teaching this month for our members around the country, head, heart, and hand. I call it the windows to the world. You know, when you look out of a window, you get a certain view. You look out of the window on the other side of the house, you get a different view. And so every window can give you a different view of what's going on around your world. And that's true if you're a head person. You're going to tend to gravitate towards seeing the world through logic, bottom line, analytical. Come on, you know what I mean, because I tend to be that kind of person. And when you face a situation or a crisis, you're going to tend to gravitate toward who you are as a head person. That's true for heart people as well. Those of you that tend to lean toward connecting emotionally, sensitivity to others, awareness, mindfulness of the moment. Now, the downside there, obviously, can be you can get too engaged or too involved in situations. And then, of course, we have hand people. I chuckle because hand people are those of you who just say, hey, let's quit talking about this and let's get it done. And you're the doers. By the way, this is the whole lesson. When you put all three of these together, it is powerful. And you can get a lot done in life. But at the beginning of time, when there was the fall of Adam and Eve, the head, heart, and hand got damaged. We see that in Scripture. As a result, it's been a problem ever since. Because let's face it, whenever you have an issue in life, it's usually related either to something you're thinking, something you're feeling that you act on, or something you've done that maybe you wish you hadn't, or something you wish you had done and didn't do. And so head, heart, and hand are important topics. Members, it's coming to you automatically here in several days. We'll get it out to you mid-month or so. New members, what does that mean? Come and join the Intentional Living community. Be a part of making a difference in the world, helping us reach people for Christ. We need your help to do this. I'm passionate about taking this message of intentional living, continuing to reach the world by radio and podcasts around the world as we're reaching people. And you're helping make it possible. Thank you for your ongoing faithful support for intentional living at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And it's because of your support over this last year that we're here in this brand new fiscal year, able to carry on and continue this mission. And I want to thank you for doing so. We'll be back again next time. We're going to talk about the power of words. I hope you'll come and join me and maybe contribute your thoughts on the power of words next time from Intentional Living.